Remember last week we kind of skipped over verses 5 and 6. I talked about, behold, the days are coming. That's what this morning's sermon is going to be. That's the text for this morning's sermon. It's a great prophecy about the coming of the Messiah. So we've gone down to about verse 15 of Jeremiah 23, where he says, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood and make them drink the water of gall. For from the prophets of Jerusalem, profaneness has gone out into all the land. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. They make you worthless. They speak a vision of their own heart, not from the mouth of the Lord. They continually say to those who despise me, the Lord has said you shall have peace. And to everyone who walks according to the dictates of his own heart, they say no evil shall come upon you. For who has stood in the counsel of the Lord and has perceived and heard his word? Who has marked his word and heard it? Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord has gone forth in fury, a violent whirlwind. It will fall violently on the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has executed and performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days you will understand it perfectly. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they would have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. He's wanting them to know that these prophets have told them lies. Now, these were basically prophets of God, prophets of Judah, but they were telling people lies because they were telling the people that everything's going to be fine. See, that's what they were telling them. You're not going to go off into captivity. God's going to take care of the Babylonian army. Jerusalem's not going to be destroyed. They were telling them lies after lies after lies. And Jeremiah comes back and says, don't believe a word they say. But that hasn't changed. People still want to hear what sounds good. People still want to hear sugar-coated things. They still want that. And you see that in the denominational world, the religious world. So many people just want to hear what makes them feel good. And if it makes them feel good, then it's got to be the truth. That's what they think. Well, that's what these prophets were doing, you know, 2,600 years ago. They were telling the people what the people wanted to hear. They were lying to them because the prophets knew better. But that's what the people wanted to hear. And so human nature doesn't change. Human nature still wants to have everything given to them on a, you know, silver platter. They still want things to be easy, and things aren't easy. I mean, just think about what's getting ready to happen to these people. They will soon learn that all of these prophets had lied to them. But isn't that what the Bible says is going to happen to people one day? They're going to realize that what they were told were lies. They're going to learn that what they were told were lies. But it'll be too late for many of them. And it was too late for these people. They believed the prophets, and yet when the Babylonian army came and started killing and knocking down the walls and burning the city, it was too late for them. If they would have listened to Jeremiah, it wouldn't have happened. But they were listening to the prophets that were telling them all of these wonderful, wonderful things, and none of them were true. Not a single one of them was true. So that was what was going to happen. So he continues, am I a God near at hand, says the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can anyone hide himself in secret places so I shall not see him, says the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord? I've heard what the prophets have said who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed. How long will this be in the heart of the prophets who prophesy lies? Indeed, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, who try to make my people forget my name by their dreams, which everyone tells his neighbor, as their fathers forgot my name for Baal. says, remember what happened with the prophets of Baal? Former prophets tried to tell you the same type of thing, and you ended up, your fathers ended up following Baal. These prophets are lying to you. He says they're prophesying lies, they're prophesying deceit. Don't listen to them. Don't listen. And it's what really amazes me is how even people that's been raised in the church and over the years will still rather listen to lies sometimes than listen to the truth. And they'll try everything in their power to justify what they're doing. But again, that's exactly what was happening in Jeremiah's time. Things haven't changed at all. So he says, the prophet who has a dream, let him tell a dream. And he who has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, says the Lord? Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? He says, that's what my word is like. It can break the rock into pieces. We see here in these verses, it shows how God, he says, I'm everywhere. Do I not feel heaven and earth? That shows that God, he's everywhere present. He knows what's going on everywhere. He knows what's in people's thoughts. He knows all of those things. Why do the prophets think they can get away with it? That's what he's saying here. He says, my word's like a fire. It's like a hammer. It can destroy. False teaching and error has been around since the Garden of Eden, and it's going to be around until Christ comes. We just have to recognize it for what it is. So he says, therefore, behold, I'm against the prophets, says the Lord, who steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I'm against the prophets who use their tongues and say, he says. Behold, I'm against those who prophesy false dreams, says the Lord, and tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their recklessness. Yet I did not send them or command them, therefore they shall not profit this people at all. God says, I'm against them. I'm against all of their false teaching. I'm against their false doctrine. I'm against these things. They claim that they are telling people the truth. But they're not telling people the truth at all. So when these people, or the prophet, or the priest ask you, saying, what's the oracle of the Lord? You shall then say to them, what oracle? I'll even forsake you, says the Lord. And as for the prophet and the priest and the people who say the oracle of the Lord, I will even punish that man in his house. Even today, people who claim to be speaking God's word, if they're not actually speaking God's word, God is against them. That's what he's saying here. He says, what is this oracle? What oracle? If you're not speaking God's word, you're not speaking for God. Thus every one of you shall say to his neighbor and every one to his brother, what has the Lord answered and what has the Lord spoken? And the oracle of the Lord you shall mention no more. For every man's word will be his oracle. For you have perverted the words of the living God, the Lord of hosts, our God. It's coming a time when people are all going to be claiming to speak for God. And yet, they're not speaking for God at all. In other words, they're just making it up. And that's what they're doing. People have been doing that since Jeremiah's time and before. People were just doing what they wanted to do. In other words, that's what he's saying. They're just doing what they want to do. Thus you shall say to the prophet, what has the Lord answered you, and what has the Lord spoken? But since you say the oracle of the Lord, therefore thus says the Lord, because you say this word, the oracle of the Lord, and I have sent to you saying, do not say the oracle of the Lord, therefore behold, I will utterly forget you and forsake you, and the city that I gave you and your fathers, and will cast you out of my presence. And I'll bring an everlasting reproach upon you, and a perpetual shame which shall not be forgotten. Those are some harsh words from God, but they're coming from God. These people kept saying that they were speaking the truth and they were speaking the oracle of the Lord when they weren't. And so as a result, I'm going to completely forsake you, forsake the city, cast you out of my presence, and there is going to be an everlasting reproach. Again, some very, very harsh language coming from God about what's going to happen. Now we have one of the more common or well-remembered, what do we want to call it? Kind of a vision that Jeremiah has with the two baskets of figs. It says, the Lord showed me, and there were two baskets of figs set before the temple of the Lord. After Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had carried away captive Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and the princes of Judah with the craftsmen and smiths from Jerusalem, and had brought them to Babylon. So he says, this is what has happened after the princes and the priests and so forth had been taken into captivity. This was the first group that was taken into captivity. This would have been the group that Daniel and his friends were also taken into captivity with. So that's the group that he's talking about right now. So this was the first captivity, the first deportation. And it happened in 597 BC. So he says, here's what I saw. One basket had very good figs, like the figs that are first ripe, and the other basket had very bad figs, which could not be eaten. They were so bad. Then the Lord said to me, what do you see, Jeremiah? And I said, figs. The good figs, very good, and the bad, very bad, which cannot be eaten, they are so bad. So that's what Jeremiah saw. Two baskets, one basket had really good figs, the other basket had terrible figs. Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, like these good figs, so will I acknowledge those who are carried away captive from Judah, whom I have sent out of this place for their own good, into the land of the Chaldeans, for I will set my eyes on them for good, and I will bring them back to this land. I will build them and not pull them down, and I will plant them and not pluck them up. Then I'll give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return to me with their whole heart. It says that's what the good figs look like. That's what the good figs represent. They represent the people who I'm going to take away captive into Babylon, but God says, I'm going to set my eyes on them for good. I'm going to look out for them, and I'm going to bring them back to this land eventually. Now, that's going to take a number of years for that to happen. You know, some of them, like Daniel, are going to go to the capital city of Babylon. Some of them, like Ezekiel, are going to be outside the city by the river Kebar. So there's going to be different groups. But God says, I'm going to be watching out for some of them. Not the bad figs, the good figs. And I'm going to bring them back. And he says, I'm going to eventually build them up. And I'm going to give them a heart that they'll know me. And I'm going to be their God and they're going to be my people. But that is down the road after they're taken into captivity. Now here's the bad figs. And as the bad figs, which cannot be eaten, they are so bad. Surely thus says the Lord, so will I give up Zedekiah, the king of Judah, his princes, the residue of Jerusalem who remain in this land, and those who dwell in the land of Egypt. I will deliver them to trouble and to all the kingdoms of the earth for their harm, to be a reproach and a byword, a taunt and a curse in all places where I shall drive them. And I will send the sword, the famine, and the pestilence among them till they are consumed from the land that I gave to them and their fathers. It says, this is what I'm going to do to the other group. There's the good figs, there's the bad figs. So those good figs are going to be watched over by God, taken care of. They're going to be allowed to come back. They're going to be allowed, like Ezra, Nehemiah, Zerubbabel, rebuild the walls, rebuild the city, kind of rebuild the country. But there's a whole other group that he calls the bad figs, that's not going to be allowed to come back. Some of them are going to die in Egypt. Some of them are going to die in Babylon. Some of them are going to die even before they're taken captive. So he says that group, he says, I'm going to deliver them to trouble into all the kingdoms There'll be a reproach, a taunt, a curse, a byword. And he says they'll be killed by the sword, they'll be killed by famine, they'll be killed by pestilence. As he says, till they are destroyed from the land that I gave to them and their fathers. So two entirely different groups of people. Good and bad figs. And their future, the bad figs, was ugly. A very, very ugly future for those bad figs. Some of the bad figs he mentions, Zedekiah's princes, and some of those. Some of those people who completely turned against Jehovah. Then he moves on into Jeremiah 25. Now, actually, Jeremiah 25, chronologically, would go before. Actually, if we went chronologically, we'd go all the way back to right before chapter 21. So, if chronologically, this happens all before those chapters happen. But we know that because he tells us the kings and so forth who are ruling. He says in chapter 25, verse 1, the word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah, in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, which was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. So this takes place a few years before what we have been talking about. He says, which Jeremiah the prophet spoke to all the people of Judah and to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, from the 13th year of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, even to this day, this is the 23rd year in which the word of the Lord has come to me. In other words, Jeremiah has been prophesying for 23 years. And I have spoken to you, rising early and speaking, but you have not listened. And by and large, that's exactly what happened. They hadn't been listening. Hadn't been listening to him at all. He had been preaching to them, prophesying to them for 23 years, and for the most part, they hadn't paid the slightest bit of attention. So he says, and the Lord has sent to you all his servants the prophets, rising early and sending them, but you've not listened nor inclined your ear to hear. There were other prophets besides Jeremiah who were also speaking the truth, but the people weren't listening to them either. They were only listening to the prophets that were telling them what they wanted to hear. He says, they said, repent now every one of his evil way and his evil doings, and dwell in the land that the Lord has given to you and your fathers forever and ever. Do not go after other gods to serve them and worship them, and do not provoke me to anger with the works of your hands, and I will not harm you. Yet you have not listened to me, says the Lord, that you might provoke me to anger with the works of your hands to your own hurt. Jeremiah and the other true prophets had all said the same message, repent of your evil way and your evil doings, and I will allow you to live in your land forever. Don't go after other gods. Don't worship them. Don't serve them. But they didn't listen. Therefore, says the Lord of hosts, because you've not heard my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, says the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land, against its inhabitants, and against these nations all around, and will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment, a hissing, and perpetual desolations. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstones and the light of the lamp, and this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment. And these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. And that's where we get the 70 years. God says, because you didn't listen to the true prophets like Jeremiah, because you turned to other gods and served them, then you're going to be taken into captivity. You're going to serve the king of Babylon for 70 years. Then he says, then it will come to pass when 70 years are completed that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, the land of the Chaldeans, for their iniquity, says the Lord, and I will make it a perpetual desolation. Even though God was behind Babylon, God knew that Babylon was an evil nation. And God says, because they're evil, I will eventually destroy them. So I'll bring on that land all my words that I have pronounced against it, all that's written in this book which Jeremiah has prophesied concerning all the nations. For many nations and great kings shall be served by them also, and I will repay them according to their deeds and according to the works of their own hands. Even though God was behind Babylon, God was behind Nebuchadnezzar coming in and taking them captive for 70 years, at the end of that time, God would come by another nation, this time Persia, and Persia would come in and fight and destroy the Chaldeans, the Babylonians. God would be behind that too. And of course, it would be Persia that would allow God's people to come back to Jerusalem. So these are things that's going to happen in 70 years. And it happens just like he says. In the next few verses, he talks about some of the specific things that's going to happen to some of the other countries, Egypt, Edom, Moab, Ammon, Tyre, Sidon, and so forth. And Lord willing, we'll get into some of those judgments on the other nations in a couple of weeks. So some bitter times ahead for Israel, but things that they brought on themselves.